Father, I thank you this morning. Lord, we sang so much this morning about your love, your goodness, your mercy. Lord, you have been pursuing us with your reckless love. And Lord, we are the recipients of that incredible love and will be for all of eternity. Lord, we thank you for your love. Father, we thank you that you were willing to offer up your only son, your beloved son, Lord, so that we would come into that freedom and be knit into your family. We thank you this morning. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would bring this word in the way you want to. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. My topic is the goodness of God or fear. Which one will you magnify? Bethel or Jen Johnson put out a song just recently, and I want to read the lyrics. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never failed me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. And in the darkness, darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Because your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Isn't that amazing? Your goodness is running after us. God is infinitely good, infinitely holy, infinitely powerful. He is magnificent. He is glorious. And he's so big. You know, sometimes we get familiar with him and we think we know him. Well, he created the universe. And he continues to create the new galaxies that they keep seeing. He's always creating. It hasn't ended. It's going to be very interesting what we get to see once we get to heaven. We're going to go, oh, I didn't know. And we're going to fall on our faces before him. He is so good. So wonderful. He loves each one of us perfectly. And he has a destiny and a calling on each one of us. And he's interested in every detail of your and my lives, our lives. So when we're born again, and thank you, Pastor Rod, for praying. I think that needs to be done on a regular basis. Amen. And everyone needs to hear and have the opportunity to invite Jesus in. And what better time than communion? Our new birth is a miracle. And it's the greatest miracle we'll ever experience. We may experience healing, but that cannot compare to the new birth we've received. The kingdom comes first to rule over our hearts and then to heal them. We receive his righteousness for our sinfulness. We are healed and made righteous only through the finished work of the cross. It can't come any other way. His sacrifice brings our healing, so it's that great exchange that we talk about so much in here. When we first get saved, it's so wonderful, right? Remember those initial days? I do. Honeymoon time. It was wonderful. It's like you're filled with joy, you're filled with peace, you're just so overwhelmed by God's goodness and his love, it just floods you. But then after a time of walking with him, some stuff starts to come to the surface. And you think, well, where did that come from? I got saved. How come I can still be ugly like that? I thought I got saved. Well, it's all part of the process. the stuff starts to come to the surface. And you might even think, hey, did I really get saved? Did it really happen? You know? I know people question that. I sure did in the beginning when I heard myself say some things I shouldn't have said. Maybe I'm the only one. I've told this story before. I remember being in the house and I was vacuuming and the central vac was on and I don't know, something, I was already stressed and something happened that wasn't so good with the vacuum cleaner and I used the word I hadn't used in a long time that starts with S. And lo and behold, someone was behind me that I didn't know was there and they reprimanded me right away and they said, I didn't think Christians talk like that. I said, I didn't either. I said, well, I guess I'm not fully there yet. Do a work, Lord. The kingdom is not food and drink and all of the outward things that the world looks at. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, according to Romans 14, 17. And I'm setting this up because my message actually is going to, you'll see. I'm going to give you some scriptures in a minute that we're going to go to. Healing begins to happen, but we also begin to have to use tools that begin to transform us, right? And that comes through the renewing of our mind. And I think, ladies and the gentlemen that are going to come and serve, we are going to learn some wonderful things on Friday, Saturday this week. Ladies, if you've not signed up, you got to sign up. This woman is a wealth of teaching beyond anything that I've known. And I've been trying to get her for 2 years. And she just is such a teacher, a revelatory teacher of the transformation of the soul. And I think it's a timely message she's going to bring, very needed for us, to go further into what God's called us to do. And so don't miss it. You know, if you can be here, be here. So the kingdom is peace, joy, and righteousness. And these are inward issues, but they quickly begin to manifest outwardly when we're born again. It's not difficult to show the joy of the Lord. And Pastor Jay spent some time in talking about the prosperity message and the prosperity of the soul. And 3 John 2 and 3, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. This scripture clearly reveals how a healthy, inward lifestyle affects our health, our finances, our well-being, our walk, everything about us, okay? So as our soul gets healed, we prosper. Amen? Charles Spurgeon coined this phrase, the irresistible grace of God. Grace pours out of his goodness. So God is chasing us down. He loves us. But in that comes his grace. In that comes his love. And it comes out of the ongoing encounter we have with the Lord. It is meant to so heal us that we become a contagious people. Because, see, this walk isn't for you and I alone to just enjoy in our homes. The kingdom comes to us so it can come through us into the world. If we just sit here with this wonderful gift we've received and we don't give it away, it's really just religion. We're attending church. It's meant to empower us to go out and be who God's called us to be. This grace message is supposed to shift us from seeing the world, supposed to shift us to seeing the world through his eyes, right? We're to go out with a message to see broken people healed, exactly the same way you got here and I got here. The world around us is filled with unbelief. It's filled with hopelessness, despair, discouragement, people not knowing where to turn. God's world is filled with peace, trust, faith, love, joy, kindness, gentleness. I mean, just name it. That's God's world. And you and I have received God's world inside of us. And God's intent is to give it away through us. When we attribute, I want you to hear this, when we attribute evil to God, we tragically undermine our purpose on earth. When we do that by blaming God for death, a flood, a tornado, a hurricane, whatever it is, a fire, we actually cripple our own ability to represent God and to manifest Jesus and his goodness in the world. So when we line up with something that's said by someone, well, God did this, and we don't speak up for the Lord and his goodness, we've just aligned ourselves with the negative. Now, I'm bringing this message because I feel we're going to go into a season where we are going to have to watch what we say, because what sits over us in this hour everywhere is very heavy. It's very negative. Hear me, good news is not what we hear on television. Good news doesn't sell. Bad news does. It comes in on our cell phones. It comes in on the television. It comes on our computer screens. However we are entertained, it comes in like a flood. You want to put YouTube music on and you get an ad before. Like you can't get away from the ads anymore. It's like frustrating. But anyway, what we don't want to do is paint God in a wrong light, because now we're giving a mixed message as believers. And that will not empower us to bring the kingdom of God wherever we need to. Our citizenship is not here. We live here. Our bodies are here. But in truth, we should be living out of our spirit realm, and our citizenship, according to Philippians 3, 20 and 21, is already in heaven. Let me read it. And you can turn there if you'd like. But I also want you to turn to Numbers 14 and Psalm 34 after I read this scripture. So Philippians 3, 20 and 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. We can actually already live in that incredible, glorious place here on earth. Both places. Everybody's waiting to go to heaven to do it. Well, Jesus said, my kingdom is here. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. That means it's here, right? And how does it move around? Through us. He's inside of us. Jesus dwells within us. The moment we say, Jesus, come in, be my Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us, who is the Spirit of Christ. Amen? Come on. We are not alone. We are not walking this alone. And our citizenship is already there. We were knit into that family. Come on. We got to get a hold of some things so we start walking like we belong to that kingdom and not this one. Because as long as we keep doing the same old thing, we're not going to have an impact. You know, praise God, Jill saw and Faye saw 15 people come to know Jesus in 2 weeks in the jail. And that's wonderful. But my goodness, what if each one of us were doing that? On the streets, in the store. And that includes me. I got to get going too. All right? But what a difference that'll make. When we get fired up, when we see what we really belong to. You know, everybody wants to belong to a club, right? Be it golfing, be it baseball, be it whatever. This is the best club to belong to. It pays really good dividends. So, Adam and Eve were created to bring peace into chaos. We need to do the same thing. But it first begins with us. So the atmosphere in us has to change. Because if I'm negative, trust me, it's a journey the Lord took me on. I was very negative and can easily still kick into it, so I have to be very alert that I don't do it. I was raised in a home where things were negative. Our parents didn't know how to teach us to make positive declarations. There was no understanding of the power of our words. We weren't saved. And so my parents came out of World War II. Life was not really up for them. And being immigrants to a new country and starting from the bottom on up was no easy task with three kids. And so the atmosphere was negative. I grew up with that. And so then you come into the kingdom and God has to start rewiring you. Amen? And making you aware of what comes out of this thing. I'm going to read a few scriptures and then I'm going to go into Numbers. First of all, I want to talk to you a little bit about David and how he handled things. Then I want to talk to you about Numbers and what happened with the 10 spies. Okay? So, our mindsets need to change. My mindset needed to change. It's been said in here recently, our declarations build the house of the future. Our words spoken now affect our lives 5 years from now. So whatever I'm releasing out of my mouth now is what's going to produce. It's what I'll be living in 5 years from now. Ouch. Ouch. I'm so grateful we did a lot of praying and declaring over in that little church in Woodsley, because this is the house we're in now. Kept declaring the prophetic words that we kept getting as we were sitting in this small building and packed out and couldn't do anything. Just kept declaring, but God, you said, you said, you said, you said, over and over. We knew how to do that. We didn't know how to do everything we know now. We've grown a lot. But we sure knew that the prophetic words were his. He had released them and he had a plan. And this was his plan. Amen? God's faithful. So where do you want to be 5 years from now? James 3, 4, and 5. The tongue is like a rudder on a ship. And Connie, you'll appreciate this. You just taught the course. If you're going to go in the wrong direction, or if you're going in the wrong direction, it's because your rudder, the tongue, is turned in the wrong direction. Okay? What you've said in the past has framed the life you are experiencing today. Robert Morris. You are living your words. What you say today will steer you towards your tomorrow. There's destiny in your words. So when we get saved, we don't know all this stuff, but God begins to transform us so we think differently and speak differently. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 18:21. Our words will impact our lives, but our tongue also carries the key power of life and death. That's how we were created. We're made in his image. Jesus spoke the world and the universe into being with his words. We in the heat of the moment can say things that we can't ever grab back. And we're going to have to learn by the power of the Holy Spirit and his grace to watch what comes out of our mouths when we are upset, frustrated, angry, discouraged. And we need to recognize that what sits above us is putting pressure on us to release things that will impact our lives. The goodness of God is the strongest foundation that we can build our lives on. If we can get that down, that God is good, that he loves us, he has only good intended for our lives. If we can understand that he's recklessly in love with us and pursuing us all the time, contrary to what religion has taught us, that he's angry with us, we're going to respond differently in crisis situations. Because we're going to know he's there in that situation, and he's directing us and trying to get us to go in a certain direction. How we respond to what we feel coming at us in that moment is what's crucial. King David, we all know who he is. He lived out of presence. His life overflowed out of the presence of the Lord. So he's going to be my example of how we positively do things. David had been in the camp of the Philistines, and he'd been there, but now Israel's coming against them, and I don't want to go into the holy story because of the time. But he was with King Abimelech, and he knew he was about to lose his life. And so this man prayed, David prayed, and he started to act like he was insane. That's what he did. He acted like he was nuts. And Abimelech didn't want anything to do with him anymore and sent him and all the people with him away. Get out of here. You're crazy. Good plan. But look at David's response before the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. But I want to read it out of the Passion Translation. It's just so good. Lord, I'm bursting with joy over what you've done for me. That's a good response. Lord, I'm bursting with joy over what you've done for me. My lips are full of perpetual praise. I'm boasting of you and all your works. So let all who are discouraged take heart. Join me, everyone. Let's praise the Lord together. Let's make him famous. In other words, let's magnify him. Let's magnify his goodness. Let's make his name glorious to all. So listen to my testimony. Cha-ching. What do we tell you to do? Share your testimony. Listen to my testimony. I cried to God in my distress, and he answered me. Wow. God answers. He freed me from all my fears. Gaze upon him, join your life with his, and joy will come. Your faces will glisten with glory. You'll never wear that shame-faced mask again. Wow. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. To magnify something, to make it bigger. So the question is, what are we going to do in difficult circumstances? Are we going to magnify him? Or are we going to magnify the problem? That choice is us, and that really is what the transformation of the soul is about. It, you know, I used to see the glass half empty. And Pastor Jeff would say to me, Gary, how come you always see the glass half empty? You got to learn to see the glass half full. How do you do that? By putting the word in. And letting the Lord begin to change and asking the Holy Spirit to put a guard on my lips. Because I had to have my glass half full when I took this on, or I would have been in a heap of trouble. Right? Because I would have been declaring a lot of negative stuff. So to magnify means to exalt, glorify, extol, or to magnify him. In this psalm, David wanted to create an atmosphere that made God bigger and greater, more powerful and faithful. He had cried out to the Lord to be delivered. God delivered him. And he just wanted to show the goodness of the Lord. And David did it over and over and over. The psalms are full of David magnifying the Lord. Even if he started out when he said, "Oh, my soul, why are you downcast?" You know, he was going through a hard time, but he flipped it at the end and began to magnify the Lord because he knew where his help came from. He knew where to turn, and he knew if he set his face to the Lord, the Lord would come and fill him, and there would be that interaction and that filling up and that overflowing, and he would be in the right place again, right? And I know we know it, but to live it on a regular basis, that's a different story. So where we build, how we build and where we build depends on us. That's our choice. That's why I said the goodness of God or fear. How we build is up to us. So the words of our mouth are powerful. So now let's turn to Numbers 13. That's the account, and I'm going to encourage you to read it on your own today. I'm going to give you homework. You don't mind homework? Okay, because some of you may not have read this story. And after you read Numbers 13, it would be good to go to Deuteronomy. I believe it's 34 where the cross reference is for this. No. Deuteronomy 1:29 and 33, I believe it is. Anyway, may not have the right reference there. But so they've come and they have traveled. God has parted the Red Sea. They've crossed through the Red Sea. They're walking through the desert. They're heading towards the promised land that they've been hearing about. God has fed them with manna. God has opened up the rock and he has given them drink. Even when they asked for quail because they wanted meat, he supplied it. So they have been nurtured by the Lord. The presence of the Lord has gone before them in a pillar of fire at night, in a cloud to cool them by day. God has been with them. The presence of the Lord has been carrying them to the promised land. Now they are at the border of the promised land to head into it. And, you know, when I started reading this yesterday, I learned a few things too. You know, you read it and read, and then you don't see, and then you see something all of a sudden. So here they are. They're being told that they're going to go into the promised land, and they are to go and scout out the land to see whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many. They were to see whether the land is good or bad, whether the cities had inhabitants, were they like camps or were they like strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, etc. Moses told them to be of good courage and bring some of the fruit back from the land. It was harvest time. I think we're in harvest time. And we have to be very careful with our words. In verse 27, it says this when they come back, and I'm going to go into it more. When they told him, so they all come back. They're there 40 days, time of testing. And they show the congregation the fruit of the land, and they got to carry the grapes on poles because they're so lush and so rich. That's pretty good. And our grapes are not that lush and rich, right? So this is quite the place. But then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit." But then look at this little word. "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." So God had taken them along and blessed them over and over again, right? He hadn't let them down in that journey. So here they are. Moses recounts the words he spoke to them after they gave the bad report. In Deuteronomy, it's written up. Do not be terrified or be afraid of them. He had told them, the Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Verse 31, and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son in all the way that you went until you came to this place, yet for all that you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place for you to pitch your tents, to show you the way you should go in the fire by night and in the cloud by day. After all this, when I carried you like a son carries, like a father carries a son in his arms, you didn't trust me. We will reflect the nature of the world that we're most aware of. Come on. So which one are you living in? I guess it depends on where you're feeding. It really will. Because of the stress, the pain, the disappointment that's in the world all around us, it's easy to pick up the atmosphere. Very easy. Depending on your sensitivity level and depending on how aware you are of God around you and which atmosphere you're living in, will depend what you release. Even for us, having the Lord, it's easy to look discouraged and heavy. And yet we're told not to give place to the enemy. He's constantly lying at us, church. He was lying at them as they were walking through that promised land and they saw everything that was there that was going to become theirs. Enemy's lying at them. He's bombarding them. He hasn't changed. He didn't want them in the promised land. He didn't want them there. So he's lying at them. You can't do this. You just can't do this. You're not big enough. Look at how big those giants are. And sure enough, they go along and say, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers, right? They began to believe what the enemy was telling them. And when we listen to all the negative stuff that we hear on the news and in the media, we're going to start believing it if that's what we're feeding on. But if we're feeding on, and I'm not saying you got to have your head in the sand, but I'm telling you, if that's what you're feeding on and you're not feeding on the word, you're going to be living in the atmosphere that's here and not the atmosphere of heaven. And you will be speaking out what the atmosphere of the world is saying, rather than what God is saying. God had been with them all this time. They had miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. He was with them visibly almost in that pillar and in the cloud. You know, he was with them. And yet they didn't believe. Fear hit them. Men are not the enemy of our souls. The devil is. He works to cause us to lose hope, to intimidate us, to accuse us, to seduce us, to get us back into old sinful habits, but more than that, to keep us out of our true destiny and what God has for us. Amen? If Jill had continued working wherever he was working, and Jill's testimony has been told before, caught in pornography and all the other stuff, if someone hadn't come along and witnessed to him and pulled him out of that place, someone who saw the gold in Jill pulled him out of that place by leading him to the Lord. Amen? And look at the impact his life has had on the city of Windsor. Only history will tell, when we stand on the other side, the impact his life has had, the impact Judy's life has had, Pastor Marilyn's, the different ones, Connie, that are out on the streets. But that's meant for all of us. They have an actual evangelistic call on their lives with the fivefold evangelistic anointing. But you and I are called to walk out and share the gospel. Amen? We are the hope givers. We are the lifeline for people that are dying. And the people that will come to know Jesus in our time frame will impact the world powerfully as his did and many of ours did after we came to know Jesus. True. So our words are powerful. The enemy worked on them so that they would magnify the problems, and consequently, they would never enter the promised land. Yet Caleb and Joshua understood the goodness of God and his promises to them. They understood that God was faithful. The miracles that they had witnessed had not been taken out of their vision. It was always before them. So we've got this inheritance, you and I, a promised land that God's calling us to. Amen? That's ours individually, that God set out for us. And we can't let the enemy destroy it through the lies that he tells us. So the bad reports these men bring cause all of the people to rebel. To the point they want to kill Joshua and Caleb, and the glory of God shows up. Then they make a decision, they're going to do it in their own strength. Well, good luck when you're doing your own strength, right? I think all of us know that. And so they wander around the wilderness for 40 years, and God has to raise up another whole generation that Joshua and Caleb lead in. And if you know the story about, the first city they go to, Pastor Rod, it just went out of my... Jericho went, choo, gone. They were told to be quiet. Not say a word. Could they follow the leading of the Holy Spirit this time and do it God's way? And they won. God won. So, this is what they had been waiting for. This is what they had been living for. Here they're on the brink of it. God's going to take him in. And the enemy lies. Caleb was from the tribe of Judah, which means praise. David was from the tribe of Judah, which means praise. So this is what they actually say. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land." Now listen to their report. "The Lord delights in us. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." This is what Joshua and Caleb are saying. Totally different perspective, isn't it? Don't fear them. The protection is off of them. It's in us. But they didn't listen. They saw themselves as grasshoppers in their sight, and that's what they became. They released fear. David made God bigger in his circumstances. They made God smaller in their circumstances. And they never came into their destiny. So we must not speak everything we feel. Number one, come on. We don't preach what we feel. We shut up and be the ones walking around Jericho and praise the Lord. I'll tell you, it's so easy to let it out when you're upset and you go by your emotions, and your emotions aren't the truth. His word is the truth. "May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." That's Psalms 19:14. Proverbs 8:8. "All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them." Help us, Lord. Number two, we can't feed our souls on bad news and pessimism and expect hope and encouragement to come out of our mouths. Doesn't work. Number three, we cannot spend time with people who have a victim mentality. Can't. It'll come on us. Unless God has sent us to minister with a mandate, that's different. As believers, we must increasingly magnify the Lord. Worship and sing victory songs, especially in the middle of a battle. And we've learned some good ones lately. Boy, they are. I wake up with them. They're going all the time. Amen? And that one about his goodness. Lord, this is the season we're in. Meditate and speak out God's promises. Declare what God has promised to you, your prophetic words. When you're in a tough battle, pull them out. Amen? If you've got them recorded, get them on your phone so you can play them in your car when you're driving. Have them printed out. Read them over yourselves, especially when you're in a tough time. Don't let the enemy lie to you and keep you out of your destiny. Amen? Your promised land. Read testimonies of breakthrough, healing, deliverance, salvation, provision, miracles. Read testimonies. Have some of them handy. They build up your spirit. Amen? And you become strong. It's crucial that we pray in tongues and remain in the Holy Spirit. If you can't think of anything else to do and you want to let her rip, start praying in tongues. Come on, back up into the Lord and start praying in tongues. And I'm preaching to myself. Amen? Spend time in the Word. Come on, daily, daily spend time in the Word. And I appreciate where Pastor Jay's coming from him from when he says, just do 5 minutes. But it's not enough. I would die on 5 minutes. My mind couldn't be transformed in 5 minutes. We have to be in the Word to be transformed. If you are just starting, then start where he said. But if you're mature in the Lord, my goodness, move into more. And don't let the enemy rob that time. You know, the phone and the iPads, I have both. Are they ever a time stealer? I have to be truthful, and the younger generation go, Pastor. But they are. I'm watching it myself. They're time stealers if you're on them. They're wonderful. I use it for overseas. We text. It's great for all of that. It's great to communicate. But it's not good when I get into doing solitaire at the end of the evening when I should be reading the Word. It is not good when I get playing games, Sudoku or however you, trying to build up my mental capacity a little bit, and I hear the Holy Spirit go, as you said, I'd rather you got into the Word. Much better. He's talking to me too. We are in a battle. It's there all the time. But what we feed ourselves on is what will come out. That's the truth. I say that to myself. There's a boldness that has to come out of us, and that boldness comes when we're face to face with him. We'll be transformed from glory to glory. In closing, Psalm 34:5, where David began, they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. We're in a battle. We're in a battle to keep us out of the presence of the Lord. We're in a battle to keep us from witnessing. It's an ongoing battle. And we have to be determined that we're here for a purpose. We're here to expand his kingdom. Amen? One day we will stand before him and we will go, Lord. And I pray for each one of us as we fall down before him, we'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So I have to ask you today, where are you at? Are you magnifying the Lord in your difficulties? Or are you magnifying your problems? And only you can answer that. Amen. So, Father, even as, Lord, I close, Lord, show us where our time is going. Lord, show us if we're on a starvation diet. Lord, show us if our time is more in the atmosphere of this world than the atmosphere of heaven. Lord, reveal to us the last time we felt we had a face-to-face encounter with you. And Lord, then show us how we respond in the trials of our life. Do we magnify you, or do we magnify the giants we think are there because the enemies lie to us? Do we see ourselves as grasshoppers and the enemy is a giant? Or do we see the giant as the grasshopper, the enemy as the grasshopper, and ourselves as the giants in you? You are with us. Your word is true. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you for that, Father. We love you, Jesus. Daddy, you're so good. You are carrying us so often and we don't even know it. Your love is all around us. Lord, we thank you for who you are to us and that you pursue us with a reckless love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.